So now that we have examined the hard heart and made a number of references to the tender heart, let's come now to speak specifically about the tender heart as we examine the first commandment. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the reading and hearing of God's word, we are encouraged by the promise in Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this afternoon is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, so far today, we heard the hard heart compared to the hard Texas soil in the summer, which I think is a good description. That sun-baked hardness, unwilling to soak anything up, difficult to penetrate, and barren. We also heard the hard heart compared to the rocky soil in Christ's parable. There, something might spring up, but it's not able to put down any roots. Well, let's go a little further and ask how we can have a tender heart before our God. Remember, it's the tender heart that obeys and respects the first commandment. And as we've seen, one of the sins associated with the first commandment, one of those is hard-heartedness. This morning we also considered 8 signs, the latter portion of that list, of a hard heart. We looked to see how pride is a part of the hard heart. The hard heart will not care for the family. It will not submit to any authority. The hard-hearted man will always be in rebellion. He will not submit to Christ. The hard-hearted man will be an ignorant man, not hearing the words of God. The hard-hearted man will have little faith. Remember, we have a hard time seeing those two things existing at the same time, faith and hard-heartedness. The hard-hearted man will often depart from the church. And the hard-hearted man will receive the judgment of God. If you do a study of this, and we've done a brief summary, but look at all of the times in the Bible where it speaks about hard-heartedness. It's amazing. It's such a pervasive subject because it's a pervasive problem. And we also wanted to point out the way that we often see that the world tends to switch hard-heartedness and tender-heartedness. And I think if you will dwell on that, you'll see many more examples. We just looked at 5 this morning. We saw that the world wants to switch on the subject of discipline. It's the hard-hearted person that would discipline a child, we saw, to the world. The world also misunderstands rebellion against God. Since they think God is harsh and cruel, they would say a tender heart would rebel against that harsh God. Thirdly, we saw with the subject of knowledge, the world switches knowledge. They would say then that the church is filled with hard-hearted people. They don't know anything. That knowledge always goes with that. Fourthly, we saw with the subject of doctrine within the church that at times within the church, we tend to switch what is hard-hearted and what is tender-hearted. We talked about Arminianism and Calvinism, how the Arminian would say the Calvinist is cold and hard-hearted, whereas their view, which actually changes the Bible, is the tender-hearted view. I think we need to be careful to watch for that. And then lastly, we saw the switching that has to do with the church, where the church begins to change its doctrine in accordance with the world, to match what the world teaches. I think these are all things we need to watch for, the things we need to be careful of, because as we know, our hearts are deceptive. They're deceitful. We can fool ourselves without even realizing it. So it's something to be careful of. The first subject we want to look at this afternoon then is to ask the question, where does the tender heart come from? How can I have a tender heart? Well, we have to know where it comes from. And the Bible speaks a lot about this subject as well, where a person can get a tender heart. We would very simply say it must come from God. In our natural state, we're born with a hard heart. Our heart is cold. Our heart is dead, in fact. Romans 6 and verse 11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's a new life that must happen. And we see that over and over in the scriptures. We see that new life must be in God. Richard Sibbes summarizes this. He says, "A tender heart is made tender by him that made it." I think that pretty much sums it up. It's made tender by him that made it. "For no creature in the world can soften and turn the heart. Only God must alter and change it. We are all by nature earthly, dead, and hard." That's a good way to look at it. God made the heart, so he's the only one that can make it tender. I love Ezekiel 36. I wanted to spend some more time in this verse, but we'll just read it. Ezekiel 36, I count 10 times in this passage where God does something and compared to just a few times where man responds. Listen to this passage. It's amazing. It talks about where the tender heart comes from. Ezekiel 36, 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away," it's very specific, "I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." So perfectly describe the way that God gives a tender heart. And he continues on in verse 27. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." I don't know how the scriptures could be any more clear that the tender heart must come from God. One more thought from Richard Sibbes here. He says, "I say that a disposition of a true child of God in the frame of the soul of such a one to be tender, apprehensive, and serviceable is a supernatural disposition. And of necessity it must be so, because naturally the heart is of another temper, a stony heart. All by nature have stony hearts in respect of spiritual goodness. There may be a tenderness in regard of natural things, but in regard of grace the heart is stony and beats back all that is put to it. Say what you will to a hard heart, it will never yield. All the threatenings in the world will do no good. You may break it in pieces, but never work upon it. It must be the almighty power of God. There is nothing in the world so hard as the heart of man. The very creatures will yield obedience to God as flies and lice to destroy Pharaoh. But Pharaoh himself was so hard-hearted that after 10 plagues, he was 10 times the more hardened." It's a very humbling thing to read. Do you agree with what Sibbes says? That there is nothing in the world so hard as the heart of man? I think that's something to meditate upon. Is there anything harder than the heart of man? We must see that our tender heart is a gift of God. And then the natural outworking of that tenderness is that we will have one God. We will yield to Him in all things. But He is first in our thoughts, our deeds, our desires. Our heart then is made more tender over time. There's nothing to measure there. How is your heart today versus last year or the year before? Your heart is supposed to be growing more tender over time. And so think back in your own life. Only you know. Is your heart growing more tender over time? That's a pretty difficult thing to measure, but we know the truth. We said last week that humility is an essential element in obeying the first commandment. And so is the tender heart. These things go step in step together. And we'll see this is one of the signs of a tender heart is that it will be humble. We'll look at that this afternoon. The prideful heart will care little for putting God first. And so the hard heart will have little room for God. Well, so we want then to see these particular signs of the tender heart. But not only as a requirement then for the first commandment, but I believe also a very appropriate preparation for the Lord's Supper. We need to come to the table with a tender heart. Hard-heartedness at the table, it doesn't go together with what we're doing. We ought to be tender before the Lord, and He must make us so. Well, let's turn to some of these signs. I think there's actually much more that we could say about each one, but we'll be introductory in nature and give you some things to think about and dwell upon. First of all, a tender heart will desire to obey God. A tender heart wants to obey. A tender heart longs for obedience. One of the examples we're going to look at this afternoon is Josiah. In Josiah, we see a tender heart that longed to obey, a heart that was broken, that God had so long been ignored. You see this with Josiah. 2 Chronicles 34, if you would turn there with me. We're just going to look at verse 27. But let's go back to 27 several times. 2 Chronicles 34, 27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof. Now, there's much more to be said about this group of verses, but let's stick with our time to just the first part here of verse 27. Because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof. So the first sign of a tender heart is it will desire to obey God. I love the example of Josiah. He's such a good example for leadership and for a king. And he has a special a place in God's word, an example of tenderheartedness. God describes his heart as being tender. And so after a long line of kings that would ignore God, Josiah longs to obey. The use of the Hebrew word here, I think, is also interesting. We looked at what it means to have the hard heart. Well, the tender heart that Josiah has in verse 27 is sometimes translated as faint-hearted. Faint-hearted. Now, that could be a negative thing in many connotations, but when we come before God, we ought to have that brokenheartedness, that humility of laying ourselves out before the Lord. And I think it's certainly something that we ought to all think of in our own hearts. What kind of heart do I have? Is my heart a proud heart, a strong heart? Or is it a heart that will be humble before the Lord? Is it tender? Is it tender? We'll look at some of the examples of tenderness this afternoon. Well, we heard earlier from Richard Sibbes. Sibbes actually has a four-part sermon series on verse 27. where he focuses on the reformations of Josiah. And I would certainly recommend that to you. It's called The Tender Heart, and it's worth your time to look at. And it's in volume 6 of the works, if you're interested. Secondly, the tender heart not only will desire to obey God, but the tender heart will hear God. It will hear the words of God. Josiah is humble and broken, and he hears God. Because thy heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place. So that's something that we ought to long for with the tender heart, is to be a people who hear God. You know, we can just read God's word all the time and never hear it. Those are different things. Let's spend time in the word, but let's hear the word. We can spend time with people all the time and we never hear what they say because we don't care. Well, when we want to hear a person, we will hear them. Notice the tender-hearted Josiah here. He not only hears the words directed toward him, but he also hears the words of judgment toward others. The words that were coming against this place. A lot of bad things were to come in the future of God's people. And we often speak about the imprecatory psalms. I think this is a good place to mention that again. The imprecatory psalms, we sang one earlier in Psalm 58. Difficult to sing some of the parts of Psalm 58. Many Christians would be offended by the psalm we just sang. But the Lord gives us that as a warning that we must hear against other people. We have to hear that warning. It certainly will fall often deaf upon the deaf ears of the world, but we ought to hear those judgments. And so I think it's certainly something that we want to consider. We've also talked about how the world tends to switch that which is tender-hearted and that which is hard-hearted. And so I would ask you the question, are the imprecatory psalms hard-hearted or are they tender-hearted? Yeah, see, a lot of people would have some trouble answering that. But from our perspective, that God is warning the nations, as we saw in our recent psalms, God is warning them. That's a tender-hearted thing to want to see a warning go out. And that bridge out ahead sign that we've talked about, it's hard-hearted to tear down that sign. That's actually really cruel. But it is the tender-hearted person that longs to see the warnings that God has given. And we see that in Josiah. And it's amazing then how the hard-hearted and the tender-hearted are often switched depending on your perspective. You know, some Christians see that as cruel. Psalm 58, for example. But we don't. We think that then it's the product of a tender heart that we will hear the judgment of God against his enemies. Now here's where I wanted to spend a moment on the subject of sensitivity. Because I think probably for our understanding of what it means to be tender, tenderness might be compared to sensitivity. I think it's a good place to go in our thinking through that. If your ears are really tender and they're sensitive, then they'll hear and notice every tiny noise. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you're trying to sleep and every little noise keeps you awake? Your ears are really tender. They're sensitive. The same thing for our feet. You know, we take off our shoes, we go outside, and you walk, and if you're not used to doing that, it's very difficult because your feet are very tender. You almost seem to feel every speck of dirt, and your nerves are screaming out, this hurts, because your feet are tender. And that's kind of the same thing we're going for with a tender heart. It's a heart that will actually notice when another person is grieving. A heart that will hear the applications of God's word as we're reading through it. It won't just stumble over them, but it will hear. A tender heart can tell then when our own sin has taken hold and it begins to grow. A tender heart, whenever there's an issue in the church, the tender heart knows something's going on. A tender heart can go toward that problem, and when they know a brother is offended, they can sense that. A tender heart in a way, has almost a super sensitivity about it. A tender heart will hear God. A tender heart understands the significance of the Lord's table, for example. A tender heart examines themselves. A tender heart can sense when something's going wrong. But if our heart's hard, we don't really tend to catch those things that we don't notice when we're not sensitive. Richard Sibbes here says that means do not make the heart tender. Means do not make the heart tender, but God, through the use of means, softens it by his word. God's word is a hammer to break and a fire to melt the hardened heart. It's true, isn't it? Do you think there's a comparison between or some correlation between our sensitivity, our heart's tenderness, with our time in the Word? You see, as we're in the Word and as we grow in the Word over time, it ought to make our hearts more tender. And so sometimes as we find ourselves growing cold, maybe our hearts are hard and we can notice that. Maybe it's because we're not spending the time that we ought in God's Word. Thirdly, a tender heart will be a humble heart. We've mentioned this with Josiah, but humility itself goes hand in hand with tenderheartedness. It equips us for our relationships with other people. Humility helps us in submitting to authority. Everything that we do, and especially as we saw these past few weeks in this subject in dealing with the first commandment, a tender heart is required to obey the first commandment. How can a hard-hearted person obey the first commandment? And then we would ask, well, how does a hard-hearted person then obey the other commandments? We put the first first. 2 Chronicles 34, beginning with verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so you shall say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. And here's the context of verse 27. Because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So if we expand that verse out a little bit, we can see a little bit more of the context of Josiah's humility. And it's a passage that ought to be familiar to you, because we read it week before last as an example of godly humility. So we see it as an example of humility and as an example of a tender heart. And it's wonderful then, here in the same verse, we have humility and tenderness of heart. A tender heart is humble. A humble heart is tender. And it's able to hear the Lord. It's not self-centered. How often in our Christian walk is everything about me? That's not the case with a tender heart. A tender heart is not all about itself, because a tender heart will see the needs of others. A tender heart will notice when others are hurting. A tender heart will not be self-centered. So we would say, in the logical outworking of that, it's very difficult to see a tender heart being prideful. Those don't go together. So we can see, I think, ways to measure our own sin there. Richard Sibbes comments here. As I said, he's got lots to say about verse 27. I like his thought here. He says, in a tender heart there is no resistance, but it yields presently to every truth and hath a pliableness and a fitness to receive any impression and to execute any performance. A fit temper indeed for a heart wrought on by the Spirit. God must first make us fit and then use us to his work. As a wheel must first be made round and then turned round, so the heart must first be altered and then used in a renewed way. A tender heart, so soon as the word is spoken, yields to it. Isn't that amazing? We love to see that in our children, don't we? When we say something, they immediately respond. And we often will notice with our children when they don't hear us, their heart is distracted in some other direction. So tenderheartedness is something that hears a word as soon as it is spoken. Sibbes continues. He says, the tender heart quakes at threatenings. It obeys precepts. It melts at promises. And the promises sweeten the heart. In all duties concerning God and all offices of love to men, a tender heart is thus qualified. But hardness of heart is quite opposite. For as things dead and insensible, it will not yield to the touch, but returns back whatsoever is cast upon it. Such a heart may be broken in pieces, but it will not receive any impression. As a stone may be broken, but it will not be pliable, but rebound back again. A hard heart is indeed like wax to the devil, but like a stone to God for goodness. So the devil loves a hard heart, doesn't he? The devil can use a hard heart in many ways. He can cause a hard heart to go in many of his directions that he desires. But we know that the Lord requires of us to have a tender heart. And that's the kind of heart that God will use. Fourthly, we see another sign of the tender heart is that it will have a healthy fear of God. A tender heart will have a fear of God. What an important part of obedience to the first commandment. A fear of God. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Good verse to memorize for the week if you're looking for one. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. See, there's a comparison there, as the Proverbs so wonderfully do, where we see fear of God on one side, but the hard heart on the other side falls into mischief. Good one for the kids to memorize, I think. The tender heart cares for God's holiness. The tender heart cares when God commands something. The tender heart hears God more readily. It's listening to God. You see, there's a difference between listening and hearing. If we're not listening, we won't hear. A tender heart is wanting God to speak. It is always listening. It truly fears God. And whereas the cold heart is indifferent toward fear of God. Matthew Henry comments here. He says, most people think that those are happy who never fear. Matthew Henry says, but there is a fear which is so far from having torment in it that it has in it the greatest satisfaction. Happy is the man who always keeps up his mind, a holy awe and reverence of God, his glory, goodness, and government, who is always afraid of offending God and incurring his displeasure, who keeps conscience tender and has a dread of the appearance of evil, who is always jealous of himself, distrustful of his own sufficiency, and lives in expectation of trouble and change, so that whenever they come, they are no surprise to him. He who keeps up such a fear as this will live a life of faith and watchfulness, and therefore happy is he, blessed and holy. Happy is he, blessed and holy. So they'll have a fear of God. Along with the fear of God, then that tender heart will know its own sinful nature. It'll always be suspicious of itself, watchful, careful, knowing that at any moment I can step out of the proper path. That's what a tender heart does. It's the hard heart that has no expectation that I'll ever do anything wrong. That heart charges forward, never thinking about the fear of God or the law of God. The tender heart is more careful. Fifthly, then, the tender heart will grieve for sin. The tender heart will grieve for sin. And we see that here in our 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27. When Josiah hears the words of God, he rends his clothes, he tears his clothes, and he weeps before the Lord in 2 Chronicles 34, 27. It is the tender heart that truly knows the cost of sin. You see, as we're hard-hearted towards sin, we don't care about the cost of it. What's the cost of sin? What's the cost of sin? Sin costs the blood of Christ. It costs that. It's a costly thing, and the tender heart knows and is aware of the cost of sin. The tender heart understands how terrible are the branches of sin, how deep are its roots. Our heart doesn't care about the strength of sin or its branches or roots. That's silly talk to the hard heart. But the tender heart thinks about these things. A cold heart casts a careless eye towards sin. And it gives it little thought. It sees, man, maybe it's a mischief, a nuisance. It's not a deadly fire. But the sensitive, tender heart understands the deadliness of sin, the way sin spreads and grows. A tender heart senses the lying nature of sin. It grieves that friends and loved ones have fallen away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The tender heart grieves properly for sin in oneself and in others. J.C. Ryle has a little pamphlet on the right heart before God. And in that, J.C. Ryle says, a right heart is a broken and contrite heart. It is broken off from pride, self-conceit, and self-righteousness. Its former high thoughts of self are cracked, shattered, and shivered to atoms. It thinks itself guilty, unworthy, and corrupt. Its former stubbornness, heaviness, and insensibility have thawed, disappeared, and passed away. It no longer thinks itself of itself lightly of offending God. It is a tender, sensitive, and jealously fearful of running into sin. It is humble, lowly, and self-abased, and sees in itself no good thing. Now, that kind of talk, for many in the world, they would think that this is dangerous talk. It's ridiculous to try to get a person to see that their heart is corrupt and able to do wrong. I think that's very unhealthy. We would hear that in the world. But not surprisingly, the broken person who thinks themselves to be unworthy will most often do the greatest things in the kingdom of God. You see, that brokenness, that sense of inability, that sense of worthlessness. Man, we want to treat that properly. We don't want to fall into a sense of despair, but a right and proper sense of our sin is so healthy before the Lord, because it's a biblical view of man. And you see, the tender heart is able to strike this balance. The tender heart is able to live before the Lord humbly, knowing his unworthiness, but at the same time being amazingly used by God. And we see this all throughout God's word. Men who and women who are broken, but who are able to be used by the Lord. Sixthly, the tender heart will desire to help others. As we've said several times, the tender heart is sensitive toward other people. The tender heart has a special place then for those who are needy, those who are poor, for the hungry. And the Bible speaks of this in Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart. Thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. That's so hard for us to do, isn't it? It's so hard for us to be always giving to others. And we live in a time where people make a living off of fooling and lying to people. People that stand at the street corner and make $100,000 a year through deceit. And we are at times not a trustful people. But the Bible tells us that we are not to harden our heart toward our brother who is in need. And we ought to give. Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him. There's a generosity that's there. And the tender-hearted man will be generous to the one in need. Clearly, the hard-hearted will then turn away from the poor or the needy or those who are weak. But the tender-hearted man will care for them. His heart will be broken for them. 1 Samuel 6, and verse 6, wherefore then do ye harden your hearts? So as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? See, there in 1 Samuel 6, we see a reminder that it was the Egyptians and Pharaoh who had the hard heart. And they oppressed the people of God. They didn't give them what they needed. They enslaved them and wore down upon them over time. But that's not the way God's people are supposed to be. We're the opposite of that. We're to be a tender-hearted people with a desire to help others. Seventhly, a tender heart will have a desire to worship God. One of the first places that we'll go when our heart is tender is to worship. That's what we long to do. In fact, the more tender the heart, the more ready that it is for worship. Too often we don't think of that connection between tender-heartedness and worship. When we think about worship, a lot of times, we live in such a crazy age that we think of theology, right? We want to protect worship. We want it to be a certain way, and rightly so. But we don't also think about being tender-hearted in worship. We can have a strong theological understanding of worship. I hope that we do. But then we can come with a cold heart. Is that something that we can be guilty of? We've got our worship in order the way it should be, but my heart might not be right. And we need to have a tender heart before the Lord. I read the New Testament quoting of Psalm 95 this morning. Psalm 95 and verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." That's amazing, isn't it? The connection there in Psalm 95 of worshiping God rightly, but then also not being hard-hearted. Tender-heartedness is essential for worship. A tender heart, not only is it essential for worship, we too often never think about the fact that we actually are hard-hearted. We might not notice that we're hard-hearted. Let's think about when we come to worship, let's come with a tender heart. Eighthly and lastly, before we come to the table, the tender heart is also promised to have prosperity. There's blessing connected with the tender heart. The hard heart isn't connected with blessing. The tender heart is. In Job chapter 9, verse 2, I know it is of so a truth, and how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart, and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him, or who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. So the question there is asked, how can a hard-hearted man harden himself against God and prosper? Those things don't go together. The answer to that, the opposite is true. It is the tender-hearted man that will prosper. Now, a word of caution to you, a word of counsel. And I hear these words as I thought about them throughout the week. There are times in life when the storms will rise and they will rage against us. And every wind that blows may seem that we are not being blessed. Every wave will crash, and it seems as though we are to be utterly undone. But God has promised that He will protect us. God has promised blessing to His people. He's even promised to shower us with covenant blessings. But the problem is that these blessings may not always look the way that we would expect them to look. In fact, there are times when God's people will be oppressed, when they will go through these difficult times. But we have to maintain a tender heart throughout. You see, just because we don't see God blessing us and we don't see prosperity, we don't have a license then to put in our pocket that says I can be hard-hearted. And I have to confess to you here, I struggle with this. I do. I think it's a lot easier to be hard-hearted. It's a lot easier not to care. To be tender-hearted is to be very vulnerable. It's to constantly being a part of other people's lives and always being aware of your sin. It's hard. I don't want to be dishonest about that. It's a lot easier to be hard-hearted. A lot easier to turn off the switch and not care. Especially in this world in which we live. But the blessings of God are promised upon those who are His. And we have to be in tune to God, tender toward Him to hear of these blessings. And it's very easy to allow our hearts to grow hard and cold. And don't fall into that trap. I think that's the trap that Satan has laid for us. I think he wants us to be hard-hearted. Wouldn't you think? You think Satan desires the people of God to be tender-hearted and kind and loving? I think it's the last thing that he wants. One last thought from Richard Sibbes. Sibbes says, it's not enough to have a heart broken, for the pot may be broken in pieces and yet be good for nothing. You see, that's something else to think about. We don't need to just be broken because we can be useless. Let's make sure that we're broken for the right reasons, that we might be more and more used by the Lord Jesus and the church. So we ought to have that tender heart before the Lord. And I would encourage you then, as you seek to have a tender heart, most certainly we ought to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect example of the tender heart. You want to know what tender-heartedness looks like? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Christ desires to please the Father in all things. Christ desires to help His people. He gives His word to His people. He thinks of them. He grieves over their sin. And He receives all of the blessings from His Father. There's no better example to look toward in our desire to have a tender heart than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him there is no trace of hard-heartedness. There is no sign of a hard heart. And so as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, let us look to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And as we do come to the table, if we come to the table with a hard heart, as we've seen, we'll come with pride. We'll come with rebellion. We'll come with sin. We'll come with presumption. We'll come with ignorance and unbelief. But if we come to the table with a tender heart, again, as we've seen, we'll come with a clear expectation of the work of the Lord Jesus. We'll come with humility. We'll come with obedience, we'll come with fear, and we will come with blessing. To the one today who is apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. As we noted this morning and last week, your heart is hard and unyielding. And my prayer is that the Lord Jesus Christ would soften your heart to receive his word. I pray that you would repent, and I pray that you would believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, let's not be a people with hearts like the stony ground. Let's not be a people with hearts like the hard Texas soil, with no place for the Word of God to grow. And let us heed the warnings that we find all throughout God's Word. If you took notes, you can see that the hard-hearted description of that man's all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to the end, there are many examples of hard-heartedness, many warnings of the man with the hard heart. Let's follow then the examples of tender-heartedness. Let's follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's be tender toward what he has to say. Would you stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would make our hearts tender. We would hear the words of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would humble us, that we might walk closer and closer with Christ. Give us, we pray, the qualities of a tender heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.